Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Have you ever considered becoming a foster carer? What exactly is involved? It's something that my next guests have been doing for quite some time. Maureen Gannon and Eileen Harkin, both with me here on the programme today, and you're both very welcome to the show. Maureen, you might just explain to listeners, first of all, what exactly inspired you to become a foster carer?
I just think it was in my family culture for a very young age. My parents had an open house and their parents had an open house. Everybody was always welcome. You never knew who was going to be at the table. And it's just something I grew up with. So that was just, you know, you never knew who was going to be on the couch when you woke up in the morning. You know, it was just very much a way of life for us.
When you say an open house, Maureen, do you mean your parents, they too were foster carers, were they?
No, they didn't foster. Like my parents were English and they were war babies, and my parents would have had refugees from London staying with them. So like they were well used to that. And then all our friends and everybody, like anybody who needed a meal, you know, our friends, it was just an open door policy, you know.
So that's sort of maybe where the inspiration came from. And when did you yourself decide then to become a foster carer?
Actually, do you remember Live Aid a long time ago? Yeah. And everybody was raising money for Ethiopia. And I said to my dad at the time that I would love to adopt a child from Ethiopia or help somebody, you know, sponsor them. And he told me that there was children in Ireland that needed my help just as much as they did. And it actually opened my eyes, because there's a lot of people here that don't realise what young children are actually going through in Ireland, that there is a need for foster carers, and some children don't have the basic needs met every day. They don't have food, they don't have clothes, they don't have a bed. You know, they don't have parents that are there, present. They're coming home to an empty house with no food. You know, so a lot of people aren't aware of that fact that this goes on in Ireland. And it's only when you start to foster that you realise how desperate children do. Some children, you know, are desperate. Like, people are living in cars, you know. So it's tough out there for young children at the moment. And it's tough out there for adults. I'm finding that because of all the people coming into Ireland, they say it takes a village to raise a child. In the last year, I have had multiple children come to me because a parent has had to go to hospital for themselves or with a sibling, and they've nobody to mind their children while they're going to hospital. And their children are put into foster care for the duration. And then just when the parent is able to take them back, they just go home.
How many children have you cared for, Maureen, at this stage?
Well, I've had a few long-term children or short-term, but I've had 170 emergency placements.
170 emergency placements. So that doesn't even include the long-term.
No.
And if you were to take that into account, how many in total would you say?
I started off first with the mother and child placement, so they're still with us. They called us mum and dad and nana and granddad. So I've had two others that stayed with me to do the leaving cert. So one's in college now and still in contact, still comes to visit. So you never really lose contact with them. So EPS is different. You get them in an emergency situation. They can come at 3 o'clock in the morning and they could stay for 1 or 2 days until TUSLA can find somewhere more permanent for them or sort things out and they go back home. So it's a different setup, really. So I've been doing emergency placement for a few years, but I can also take another person short term, so they can, it's when they turn 18 and they end up out of care. So we have to go to court to get them so that they can stay in care until they finish their leaving cert. So they'll stay with me and, you know.
It's a remarkable thing to do, Maureen. Eileen Harkin is with us, Maureen, on the line as well. Eileen, good afternoon and thanks for taking the call today and for joining us. You've been listening to Maureen there over the past few minutes and that's a story that resonates with you because you're also a foster carer. How did you get into this?
I got into it. My mum started foster. My daddy died when I was six. There's 12 of us in the family and now the rest are all grown up now and I was the youngest, but the fact there was a lot of grandkids and a lot of family. There's always people coming and going. But she started foster and then we were just used to kids coming and going and social workers coming and going. And we loved it. And then I got married young then to Martin and he was that used to us fostering with kids coming and going that
he didn't know any different.
Yeah, he didn't know any different. Hey, and we just knew we wanted to do it. So many kids that needed help, and the difference that you see in these wee kids when they would come in the door, to the difference in them leaving, it's just amazing. It's amazing that you know you can help somebody that really needs. If they come to your door, you know they really need your help. You know, the social worker's not ringing you for the crack of it. Like they really need you to help, and they are in a desperate need for help.
How many years have you been doing this, Eileen?
We're doing 24 years. We started with my youngest. We had three kids, and My boys didn't know any different than kids coming and going, and this was all normal to them.
Mm.
And I genuinely believe it's made them kinder boys. Like they're kinder to kids with additional needs, and they're more understanding that everything isn't rosy for everybody else. Their life's rosy, but not every child coming in your door. And they're more respectful. They've grown up to be very kind young men that are an enormous help to us as a family. And they welcome every wee child that comes in our door.
How many children have come through your doors?
Well, we're now not like Maureen. We don't do emergency. But now, after listening to her, I think I might start.
Really?
She's an inspiration there now.
Yeah.
We've had 36. Most of ours would stay kind of a few years and then they move on and we've got three long term.
So typically, Eileen, in your case, compared to Maureen, children would stay for long periods. I presume we're talking most of their kind of childhood life then, are we?
Well, it depends. It all depends on the assessments on the parents and getting the kids. Ideally, kids, we look for reunification. Reunification is the goal, if at all possible, and safe for the kids. And that is what they're looking for. So we would keep the kids until they can go back home to the birth families. We do a lot of pre-adoptives and things like that there. But I would be, as Maureen does, it would be kind of, when parents are going to hospital, and it's not like years ago where the neighbours looked after your kids. It isn't like that anymore. Mm. People don't help the way they used to help. So people don't have anybody. There's a lot of people that just wouldn't have somebody to help them. So that's where we would step in then. And it is hard. It's hard packing a suitcase.
I was just going to say that. Is it very difficult when they leave you?
Oh, it's so hard. I would never lie and say it's easy. It's not. Not easy, and it's not easy for the extended family either. You know, there's grannies and granddads and aunts and uncles. It takes a lot of us, like, and everybody welcomes the kids in. So they're a big part of everybody's lives, not just our immediate house. But it is hard, but you have to look at the bigger picture. That child needed you then. But now, if everything's safe and everything's okay, that child goes on for their life then. And you have to do what you have to do. I think you learn as the years go on, different techniques to help yourself stay busy. Walk the legs of yourself. Clean your house as much as you can. And then the phone call will be far away.
Have you found ways, Maureen, to kind of to navigate those goodbyes over the years?
It's different with me because I'm just doing emergency placements, so you don't... You can get attached to some very quickly, and I do find it really hard when they're going. It's really difficult to understand how you could have an 18-month-old baby and you have them for one day, and when somebody comes to take that child away from you, they're clinging to you and they don't want to leave. They can form an attachment to you in one day or 2 days. That's really hard to understand. But you form an attachment with them as well. And like my husband has dragged me away from cars crying, because it is really tough, you know, and you just have to believe that you're helping that child in the moment and that they're going to something better and that they will get the help they're going to need. Sometimes it's just taking them away from the parents to give the parents a breather. And then they say they're going to put a plan in place to help the parents, and the child will go back and they will get the help they need, and hopefully then things are better for them. Mm. Sometimes it's just like when we were doing our fostering first training, we were told that the way things are now, like if one of my daughters says, "Mom, I can't afford a pint of milk, can you send me the money?" Like, I send the money for a pint of milk, but you can imagine, like, there's somebody here and they've nobody. I mean, what do they do for that pint of milk? You know, there's a difference between having somebody to ring and ask for help and not having that person can actually be the difference between a family not coping. And but they put this plan in place to bring the children home and hopefully things improve.
What?
But sometimes it doesn't and they end up going into care, you know.
That's how people end up, and it was coming to you and coming to Eileen, and so lucky to have you both and so many of the other foster carers as well, Maureen, across the country. What makes a good foster carer, do you think?
I think it's, for me, it's your job, what you're asked to do is to keep them safe. That's what you're asked to do, to keep them safe. But I don't know, it's just somebody who cares enough to extend the table. You know, all you need is a spare bedroom, a seat at the table, and just a willingness to be there for a child when they need somebody the most. You know, a lot of people say to me, "Oh, you're great being a foster parent. I couldn't do that." Well, the reality is anybody can do it. You don't have to be special to do it. All you need to do is just realise that there are people out there that need help and just be willing to give it. You know, you have a spare room and just open your door and let them come in. That's all you need to do. You don't have to be anything special.
What's the kind of the biggest, Eileen, the biggest maybe misconception or misinformation around being a foster carer?
I think a lot of people, as Maureen said, they go, "Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't give the child back." And you go in as if it's easy for us to give the child back. No, we've cried ourselves to sleep many tonight. Them kids have been through things that none of us adults would ever go through.
Mm.
And patience and love and understanding goes a long way in helping them. So it's things like that are hard to listen to. People judge very, very quickly. People judge their parents, the birth parents, very quickly. You shouldn't judge anybody. Nobody should be judging anyone. You don't know what they've been through. That put them in that position. Life's hard for people, and I think we're lucky, and there's so many people out there that could, if they just open their mind a wee bit more and open their heart and a wee bit of faith in themselves, that know that they could do it.
A lot
of people say to us that, "I wish I could do it." There is help. You know, we have a link worker, and honest to God, there's times that you do question yourself on what you're doing, as long as we are doing it. And my link worker is a lifeline to me many today. So there's always somebody to ring, there's always somebody to have your back and to just to listen to you. Sometimes that's all you want. You want to get listened to.
To listen and to help.
And we bit of help back sometimes just to encourage you as well in all the years we're doing it.
I see that. I know Tusla, as part of the National Fostering Awareness Month, they're including public awareness events, there's information, campaigns, community engagement as well around some of the activities that are happening nationwide. And if anyone listening today is inspired by Maureen and Eileen's work, you can get more information. It's at fostering.ie. Maureen and Eileen, listen, thank you so much for joining us today to share your stories with us.
Thank you.
Fair play to you both. It is such an incredible thing to do, and I hope you're both very proud, you know, of the contribution that you've both made. It's pretty incredible what you've done over the last number of decades, and I do appreciate your time here on the programme with us. Eileen Harkin, Maureen Gannon, thank you so much for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.